Happy New Year of the Dog. Thank you for wearing red, some of you, and as I've continued to wear red, it's only been a week since Chinese New Year last week. So I'm so glad to be here with all of you. Just introduce myself. My name is Daniel. I'm privileged to be one of the 9 pastors here at Island ECC, responsible for men's ministry and pure desire ministry. And let you know on a little secret, I'm actually born in the year of the dog. Yeah. So you can guess whether I'm 24 or 36. And whoever gets it right will get a prize at the end. Well, I was thinking, if angel appeared to you today, if an angel just came to your house tonight and says, I'm going to grant you a wish that can work for you and your family, and you get to choose one of these blessings, which one will you choose? 恭喜发财, 来世到来. You know, you're blessed with lots and lots of money, or you could choose 名成利就, you know, blessed with power and popularity. A lot of you are very smart, right? You say, well, if I pray for money, then but if I have popularity and power, maybe I'll get money, so maybe number two. Or 丰盛的人生, to be blessed with an abundant life. It's a tough choice, isn't it? But before we go on to today's message, let me just briefly introduce my family to you. My brilliant, smart, and beautiful wife, whom God has blessed me with, along his son, Jesus Christ, to show me what true grace is about. I don't deserve her, yet God has given me to her, to me, and I'm forever grateful. And also, I have 3 precious Ninjagos at home. You know, I can't be more proud than my 3 sons. Ryan, my oldest, whose spirit is ever so free, and he always likes to laugh, even at the silliest thing to the most serious thing. He just takes life in a stride, which I'm really thankful for. My second son, Hunter, so creative. He could just take some paper and make it into some amazing transformers and draw something totally out of his own, and I love him. Very curious, and both of them just turned 11 and 9 in February. And then comes this little guy. His name is Ezekiel. We call him Ziki. He's sort of like a hybrid between Ryan and Hunter. Still 3-ish. We still haven't quite figured out where he's at, but he's just got this cutest smile, right? And then last week, I took a pair of scissors, and for some reason, he's curious, and he started cutting our favorite bed sheet. And when we come in, he goes, what is going on? And he goes, yeah. And you just can't get mad at him. Anyway, that's them. And what I want to propose to you today, besides, you know, wishing you a very happy Chinese New Year, Year of the Dog, trying to guess whether I'm 24 or 36, is, you know, I found a journal of someone I know quite well. I believe that if he was still alive, he would want me to read it to you. Okay? And the journal entry is called The Scariest But the Best Day of My Life. So if you will, enter the story with me. I remember it was just like any other day. The sun beaming, 'twas a humid day. I was by myself as usual, looking out into this vast, endless land. I couldn't see another soul. The wind blew, and from a distance, I saw Dolly the Black run off into the distance by herself. Again. I yawned. Got off the rock I usually sit on and started after her. I mean, she wasn't a bad girl. I think she was just never happy eating with the others for a long time. She gets bored after a while, I think. She would go off and try to find a new patch of grass to eat somewhere else. It's like, as if she's got a plan, you know? A mind of her own, as if she's seeking for something more in life. Maybe an adventure. A sheep seeking an adventure somewhere out there. That's why I like Dolly. She reminds me of who I used to be. How ironic. I had dreams. I had visions. I still remember the day when Jochebed told me that I was her son, that I was a Hebrew. It turned my world upside down. I remember dreaming that Perhaps someday our people would have our own land, become our own nations again. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, that would be something. Well, what's the use of thinking about the what have and could have and the might have been? I mean, look at me. Should I be happy? I have a family. I have my wife and kids, a roof over my head, 3 square meals a day, and I have a very, very steady job. No competition out here. I'm a boss of my own with all these meh. I know every stone in this godforsaken land. No one knows it better than me. Heck, I've lived here for 40 years. I was daydreaming again. I saw Dolly do something out of character. She returned to the flock by herself. So I turned around and I saw an incredible sight. There was a bush on fire, except it wasn't burning. I've never seen anything like this before, and I couldn't help myself from wanting to get closer. As I stepped closer to have a look, a voice came out of nowhere and told me not to walk further, and that I needed to take off my sandals, for I was standing on sacred ground. My heart almost stopped because the voice knew my name. The voice said that he heard the cries of his people. He said he will take them out of Egypt to the promised land. He said he will not only take them out of Egypt, but provide them with clothes, with food, with silver, with gold. And the most frightening thing was, he said, I will be the person to lead them out. I was screaming inside, scared to death, but I was trying to fight this idea with every fabric of my being. I'm scrambling inside to try to think of all the reasons to say no, no, no. But wait a minute, could this be God? Good, good, good. If it is God, then it would be easier. I mean, come on, God, you know everything. You're asking me to tell Pharaoh, my adopted mother's dad, whom the Egyptians jokingly say that he's my grandpa, a title which he never approved of. I mean, who am I? I killed one of the slave masters because he was so mean to one of my people. He just kept on whipping the back of the man, and he couldn't even get up from the ground. I couldn't help but to stop him, so I picked up a stone and I accidentally killed him. I ran from that scene, and now you want me to go back and demand to a king, the most powerful person in this land, to set all the Israelites free? And then what about the people? Why would they believe me? To them, I'm one of the enemy. To them, I dressed like an Egyptian. I lived in the palace. To them, I was an Egyptian. They would never believe me. No, 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 God. There's no way. On top of that, I said to God, I just can't speak eloquently. I've been tending sheep all these years. I hardly speak a word. In case you haven't noticed, sheep are not the best conversationalists in the world. God, I just can't. You must know this. I am Moses, the fugitive, a murderer, a lowly shepherd. I'm a nobody. You've got the wrong person. Please, please, God, send someone else. It's great that you want to save your people from slavery. I'm all for that. Set them free. I love that. I will pray for the right person to rise up. And I'll even give all my savings to support that cause, however much I've saved as a shepherd. But just not me, okay? Not me, because I can't. I'm a nobody, God. I'm here. And as I look back in this day again and again, I'm so glad that God did not give up on me. God did not simply say, okay, Moses, I'll find someone else. Instead, he told me, I will be with you, Moses. When you go and see your step-grandfather, he said that he is the great I am and that he is the God of my forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he is the creator, and every part of my body was uniquely formed by him, and he knows every word that I will say before I say them because he will be my mouth. He showed me that he is God by turning my staff into a live serpent. He caused my hand to become leprous and transform back into a normal one. I was astonished. when I was still afraid, he said, I'll send you Aaron, my brother, to join me on this mission so I won't be alone. Looking back, I almost laugh at myself. Alone? I was never alone. God was present even when Aaron wasn't around. He was always with me. He knows every anguish in my heart, and he knows my every thought. He knows my frailty, and he knows my fear. He knows who I am. I am his. God loves me so much that he wouldn't give up on me. God loves me so much that he wouldn't let me stay in my comfort zone. God loves me so much, he wants to show me much more than my own eyes can ever see. Only a small pocket in my little world. I saw one cloud, and I thought that was the whole sky. I saw a bird flying, and I thought, I could follow that. I gave up on myself too easily, but God never gave up on me. I thought I was done at age 80. I'm too old. But you, God, you always know better. Teach me, oh God, your ways, your love, your plan. Show me how I can love you, though I can never, ever love you the same way you love me. But I want to, God. Because I now realize it was you who made the sky. It is you who taught that bird to fly. If you let me be reached, will you teach me, Lord? For you know, you always know better than I. I can really identify with Moses' story. I'm sure you can too. I found another journal entry. This time I got this man's permission to read it. And I know this man very well. So let's go into another journal entry. The scariest but the best day of my life, sequel, part two. I'm a third generation Christian. My grandfather was an elder in the church. My dad is a pastor, and I've been at church since I was in my mother's womb. Growing up, I've always served at the church, in the choir, teaching Sunday school, leading Bible study, involved in small groups. In fact, I've brought a lot of my school friends to church, and some of them became Christian. Some of them are still struggling at the moment, but they remain to be my friends today. Back in Toronto, as a teenager, I'm sure some of you have done this, maybe not all of you. I've asked my dad this question. I wish I didn't ask him. Dad, what do you think I should be when I grow up? My dad paused for a long while and have this seriousness in his eyes. He said, you know, Daniel, I think you would be a good pastor one day. After I heard that, I fell backwards, rolled on the floor and crashed through the windows and then almost hit the fence 10 yards away. Well, I didn't actually do that, but I felt that way. I mean, it wasn't an answer that I was expecting. I didn't want to be a pastor because looking at the hard life that my dad was going through, pastoring as a vocation was probably the last thing I wanted to do in my life. God had called my dad to be a fixer pastor. Like a church doctor, he would be called to different churches every 3 to 4 years, diagnose the sickness there, and then heal it by God's grace. After that church was back on its feet, God would then bring him to a different church. God chose my dad to play a very unique role, and that was to carry out his healing for churches in difficulties. But growing up as a young boy, as a teenager, eventually an adult, all I saw in the churches that God cared for so much was chaos, issues, frustrations, and I felt the weight of that burden. So why would I choose to be a pastor? I just wanted to live a life of freedom and fun. Thus, I buried my dad's suggestion for me and flew back to Hong Kong after I graduated, away from my family. I pursued my career in Hong Kong in the entertainment industry. I had opportunities to work in multinational corporations, in sales, in training, development, and eventually started my own training consulting business. God was so gracious. He actually allowed me to have a taste of all the work my heart ever desired. The strange thing was, every now and then, when I was having a meal with a friend, a simple question would pop up. Hey, Daniel, are you going to be a pastor one day? This simple question would linger in my mind for a few days, and then I would try hard to bury it again. I mean, where did that come from? You're having a meal, and then someone says, are you going to be a pastor? I started to go into ECC in 1996 and helped on Sundays and with care groups, and later on moved with the first initial 180 people that were part of the plan that would now become Island ECC. In the winter of 2005, my wife and I went to Sunday service as usual. We were getting ready to go, dim sum, ramen, you know, what should we eat? Just like all of you are thinking right now, right? Pastor Tobin walked up to me and said, "I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse." I said, "I heard that somewhere. Isn't that from Godfather?" And I go, "Okay, oh yes, Pastor Tobin, what's that?" He says, "I want you to come and work with men's ministry full-time at the church." Out of the blue, just like that, I fell backwards, rolled on the floor, and crashed through the backyard window and almost hit the fence 10 yards away. That didn't really happen. I didn't go like that, but that's how I felt inside. I said, who proposed a question like that after a service? I was shocked, to say the least, but out of the most polite and diplomatic way you would answer a pastor, it says, "Wow, right. Well, okay, let me pray about it. I'll get back to you." Pastor Tobin. I was thinking, who am I to serve in the church? Sure, I've been a Christian for a long time, but who am I to shepherd these men? What can I possibly offer to the people? I don't have a higher degree. I don't have a master of whatever. I have no seminary training. What can I give them? Anyway, surely I'm not the one, God. To cut the long story short, after 6 months of prayer and asking for advice, I ended up working at Island ECC, but as a part-time staff. See, I was smart. I was so fearful that, okay, I'll tip my toe into the uncharted water, but I'll keep my other toe out in the world, because my dad's experience still haunted me. Through serving at men's ministry, God showed me that I'm not half the man that I am to be. Through serving the brothers in the church, he showed me how lives are being transformed, how broken marriages are being restored, how men and women who are addicted to different things in their lives are being set free, how men found true purpose in life and could become passionate about life and having a true compassion for the families, communities, neighbors they thought they would never be possible. And so was their wives and girlfriends and friends. God turned many hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. I was blown away by what God can do. Just in case you don't know, God is for real. God began to shape me to become the kind of man that he wants me to be. And he's still working on me. I have my ups and my downs. I have my frustration. But at that time, I was in a sweet spot in my life. I can earn a good living, conducting my own business, while at the same time, being part-time in the church, patting myself and saying, "Hey, good job, you know, you're serving the church and you're being a good testimony in the world, beautiful." I felt good being an X-Man, a mutated staff member of Island ECC, half in, half out, you know, perfect. A few years have passed, my corporate training business went well. God blessed it. It's another sermon worth preaching about, that transformation and how God just blessed the business. Men's fraternity, the men's group I was responsible for, was also blessed by his mighty hand and increased in numbers. But I was stretched in both worlds. I proposed to the church that we needed a full-time guy, maybe a pastor, to lead the men's ministry. I talked to both Brad and Rick, and they said to me, "You're that guy, brother." Well, they actually didn't. They don't do things like that. But that's I fell backward. Before them, I roll on the floor and I crash through the window, hit the fence 10 yards away. I said, "What is..." I was just hoping Brad said, "Hey, you know, roll over and say, okay, yeah, we'll hire another guy." No, he just said that. He said, "You're the man once again." Of me coming into full time and all the memories of how my dad was treated and how frustrating those church environment was still haunts me. So I prayed to God. I said to him, I said, "God, if you want me to do this, I will do it. Show me a sign on Nathan Road. Show me a burning bush. If I see a bush burning and you speak through that just like you did to Moses, I will do it." I was hoping God will, you know, take my neck and say, "Hey, this is what you need to do, full-time ministry for the church." But all the while, in truth, is my heart is unwilling because of the things I was holding on. Like Moses, I was crippled by the fear of my past. I was worried about people's expectations, and I was doubting my own ability. I said to Brett, our senior pastor, I said, I'm not that guy. Just like Moses said to God, oh my Lord, please send someone else in Exodus 4:13. Oh, by the way, I don't mean that Brett is God. No. You know what I mean. It's just a parallel there. Okay. 2012, we invited Dr. Ted Roberts to come and speak at our men's conference. It's called the Warrior Conference. Introduced Pure Desire Ministry, where men and women are committed to walk the path of purity and experience true freedom in Christ. And God used Dr. Ted to free my burden of what seems to be a perceived poverty and a slavery of my past in my views of the church and her problem. In my week of accompanying Dr. Ted while he was in Hong Kong, he prayed over me, shared with me his own journey of how he came into full-time ministry, and he ministered to me like a father. And I told him that I wish God would just take my neck and show me the burning bush and say, you will do this today. Dr. Ted simply said, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything, but he's ever so patient with you. He wants you to do this out of the willingness of your own heart. I said, wow, never thought of it that way. And then after sharing my father's experience as a pastor, he simply said these simple but profound words, you are not your father. Five simple words. You are not your father. You are uniquely created by God, and he will make a path that is different for you. You know, it's very easy to say that, you know, I'm just who I am. You know, you are who you are. I am who I am. Whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s, 70s, some of you are like Moses in your 80s, you can easily say no to God's prompting, his mission for your life. And the reason can all sound very legitimate, like Moses, like mine. But if you continue to say no to God because of these things, you're actually living in fear. You're crippled by what you've experienced in the past. You're having false focus on expectation of how the other people see you. And you're also boxed in by your own inability, my performance, what you can do and what you cannot do. On April 23rd, 2014, God used another brother to speak to me. It was one of those, you know, typical Tuesday men's group night after men's fraternity. I remember clearly it was after midnight because we talked about purpose and God's calling and what's in his heart, what's on my heart. And then somehow God used that conversation, brought me home. I was walking past my gate into the living room. I saw the sofa and I couldn't help but I just fell on my knees and my face was on the sofa and I was crying, I was sobbing because God has revealed to me the obstacles and the fences and all the reasons and excuses and all the things I said no to God. God just either answered my prayer, fulfilled my heart's desire, healed the wounds that was there, take over the fences and just, you know, just destroy all the obstacles. And I felt the impression of God stooling down and said to me, Daniel, my son, is there anything else I can do for you? I was in awe of how God loved me, pursuing me all these years. And I say, God, no. No, you've done so much. You've loved me so much. There's nothing else you can do for me. I'm all yours. I'm here to serve you. And that's the night I committed to serving God full time. Think about this. If God didn't continue to pursue Moses, and edify him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, what do you think Moses would be doing? He would continue to tend his sheep. He would never have had a chance to see all the wonders that God had performed through him. The 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, and so many amazing miracles. Look at how Moses responded to the Israelites as Pharaoh and his Egyptian army chased after them with the Red Sea in front of them and there's nowhere to go. And the people are crying out, you're bringing us out here to die? And look how Moses responded, transformed from a fearful soul to a fearless man of God only a few chapters later. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Imagine the mighty God, the most powerful being in this whole wide world, is working for you. He's fighting for you because he loves you. Just like Moses, I'm so glad that God insists on pursuing me, even when I kept saying no to him, or else I would never have had a chance to be on this podium to testify his goodness and be on a great adventure with all of you today. So to conclude, you are who God says you are. If you allow that to happen, you will become who God had uniquely created you to be. You can choose to live fearfully, or you could choose to step into abundance. You could choose to live in the past, or you could choose to trust in God, because God says, I am with you. I will work for you. I will fight for you. The past or the potential future that God sees in you. You could choose to look at people and say, I'm not good at this, that, and that. Or you could choose to look your eyes upon Jesus, our Lord and Savior, because he said, I made you. I made your mouthpiece. I made who you are today. As men, we look at our performance. But you're not doing this alone. Whether it's ministry, whether it's work, whether it's adventure that God has called you to be, he said, I will bring the right people to help you. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In a very crafty and stealth way, the enemy creeps up to steal your time. Think about all the time that you've wasted. To kill your dreams, to kill your hopes, and to destroy the opportunities you can have in trusting God. So friends, you have a choice today. You can continue to say no to God's prompting in your heart, whether that is to accept him as your personal savior and call him your God, or burying a seed like I was before, ignoring his voice, to drum up more reasons to drown out what God desires for your life. Or you can keep on telling yourself, I'm just who I am, you know? My time has passed. I just want to stay where I am. Or you can become who God has uniquely created you to be. Live in the adventure that awaits you. If you were Moses, would you ever trade Exodus for a steady shepherding job? In the year of the dog, may I continue, may you continue to trust in him every day, listening to his prompting and stepping into life's abundance with God. If an angel comes to you tonight, grant you one of the three blessings to really come true, which one will it be? Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for being a living God. Thank you for being active in our hearts, and thank you for all those plants and seeds that you have placed in our beings. Lord, shut off the world's noisiness and busyness and allow us to come before you and speak to our hearts and think about all those godly desires that you have placed in us. Allow us to be who you have uniquely crafted us to be. Speak to us today. Give us the courage to step into an abundance, to experience the adventure, the life, the purpose that you have created us to be. We come before you and we surrender. If there's anyone worth surrendering to, it is you, God. If there's anyone that we can trust in, is it ourselves? Is it our bank account? Is it the achievements that we have made before? Or is it you, God, the one that is completely in control, the one that loves us more than we will ever know? speak to us. Allow our hearts to turn from heart of stone into a heart of flesh, to be teachable, to be loved by you, to really seek you. And thank you for fighting for us. Thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.